This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Michael Yan. Michael underline Yan is his Twitter address to connect to his reporting. He is in the South Caucasus, but he's on the eve of departing again for Central America and the American border, Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, and California. Michael, you describe a quest, an embassy, a mission in which you're going to traverse the U.S. border from Boca Chica, that's SpaceX, the Gulf, to California using a very pricey sensor that can tell the difference between male and female, between child and adult. What information are you gathering, and how are you going to use it? Thank you, Michael.
Well, we're going to take a lot of very interesting people out there. Daily Wire is going to show up, and quite a lot of others of that caliber, and Project Veritas, and many other very interesting people are interested, and some people whose names you know, but will to be announced when we're downrange. But we're going to go across, and this time we're going to cross the entire southern border. And this time we'll have helicopter support and aircraft at times. And we're going to show people with very sophisticated optics and also just very good optics and cameras and audio. We want people to see it in living color, not these little snippets, but you know, just a daily show where you can come in and you want to see what's on the border. We'll have live stream. We've got Starlink and mobile on one of the trucks now, so we'll be able to upload live streams right from the border. You'll be able to see it with your own eyes. In fact, we're going to be talking about places where people can just get in a car, you know, four-wheel drive, and come out and see for themselves. Because it's, you know, it's just like going to the beach. It's not like you have to, you know, jump on an airplane and jump in a Piragua canoe up in the Darien Gap. You'll be able to just go to Texas or New Mexico, Arizona, or California, and just drive down and see it with your own eyes. It's just literally like going to Daytona Beach. And so, but people don't seem to, a lot of people don't seem to get, you know, how accessible this is. And the invasion is quite real. For instance, there's a colonia. Colonia is the Spanish word for colony. There's a colonia north of Houston in a place called Liberty County. They call it Colony Ridge, right? And Colony Ridge, Todd Benson and I flew over that about a month or a month and a half ago. We drove out there. This is big enough to hold 200,000 people. It's under construction. And it's the developer is a guy named Trey Harris. He donated $1.4 million to Governor Abbott. So Trey Harris, the developer of Colony Ridge, this huge new town, which could hold 200,000 new aliens, donated $1.4 million to Governor Abbott, right? And so Todd Benson and I went out there and we were driving around a month and a half ago, and it was so big, you know, with the drones, you couldn't see very much because it was too big. So we went to the airport and came back with an airplane and flew over it and made videos, and we still couldn't get high enough because there was a low cloud ceiling. So we're going to go back with helicopter this time and strap on some good sensors, and we're going to map it out. We're going to map out this colonia and the tremendous amount of wetlands that they're destroying to develop it, and the huge amounts of vehicles down there that we saw. I mean, we were on the ground, and huge vehicles driving all around us, clearing the land and, you know, putting in the plumbing and that sort of thing, building schools. And we're going to map it. And then we're going to go back in the next a couple months later, and we're going to map it again. We're just going to keep mapping it, and we're going to show people the progress that's happening from a development where the developer has donated $1.4 million to the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, who is a World Economic Forum member. He's on their website. Greg Abbott is on the World Economic Forum website as one of their members. He's basically the World Economic Forum sector chief for Texas. So this is what we're doing. We're showing not only, I call the border the eggshell. Outside of the egg is places like Darien Gap or Morocco and Lithuania, places I go that, you know, downrange. And then inside the egg are places like the Colonia north of Houston at Liberty County, right? So we're going to be both inside the egg and on the stuff.
Michael, who's paying for Colonia? Who's endorsing this? Because clearly the developer is not putting his cash down. Where is he getting it?
That's a good question, and we're working on that now. I was just talking with Todd Benson about that yesterday and some others. I mean, because this is not something that costs $100 million. We're talking, I don't know, $1 billion price range. This is massive. They're building literally a city for 200,000 people. How much does that cost? You should see it. When we go back with the helicopter in a couple of weeks, we're going to publish that immediately, and you can look down and you'll see the work going on. You'll probably see the dust from the vehicles moving around down there, big earth-moving vehicles. Many dozens of them.
A lot of subcontractors. Did you see any of the subcontractor logos on their machinery? Did you see anything that said Department of Homeland Security? Michael, did you see anything that said Department of Homeland Security?
Did not. We were looking specifically for things like that. We photographed all numbers and signs and email addresses. We photographed everything, obviously, and we've been looking into it. A lot of these are clearly, you know, big subcontractors, and then there's small ones popping up who are putting their, you know, the signs on the light post and that sort of thing. So it's building a little you can see they're putting in new gas stations. They're putting in schools out there which teach Mandarin, by the way. And yeah, that's right. They're teaching Mandarin at Colony Ridge already. Actually, when Todd and I were there, I think about 6 weeks ago or 8 weeks ago, there was a mass murder, right? A Mexican illegal alien who had been deported multiple times was out shooting his rifle at night. And the neighbors got upset and asked him to stop shooting because he's keeping their baby awake, right? They had an infant baby. And the neighbors were from Guatemala. And I know this because we went to the house. And we went to the house, you know, a month or so ago. And so the Mexican guy out shooting his rifle, the neighbor, the illegal alien Guatemalans complained about the illegal alien Mexican, and he went over and he shot three holes in the front door, which I photographed and made video of and I published it. And he went inside the house and he shot the baby, killed it, shot the mother, killed her, and killed, I think, three others. So I think it was five that were killed. And he escaped and he was caught. And so now he's in jail. And this was an illegal alien who had been deported multiple times, living in this same ecosystem of Colonia north of Houston. And just out there running wild. I mean, this is gangland territory, right? I mean, these are people without laws, without borders, and without any borders, psychological borders or physical borders. And so, I mean, what we saw there is in the news because, you know, the child was killed and another child and so that one hit the news. But these sorts of things happen daily, right? I mean, this is every day. And the child trafficking is absolutely immense. You see that movie that just came out. I haven't seen it yet because I'm in Georgia, the other Georgia near Russia. But we see that daily. The Sound of Freedom. We see child trafficking. That's my day job, watching this down in Darien, or watching children come across in Arizona or New Mexico or Texas and California, and nobody's stopping them. Our government refuses to do DNA testing. They refuse to do any testing at all. You see Chinese coming across at Yuma and other places right in front of me, like 10 feet away. I'm hearing the conversations, and the Border Patrol does not ask for ID. He just asks, what's your name and your birthday? He doesn't even ask for their passports or anything. This is, you know, crossing around the what they call the Yuma gap, where there's a gap in the Trump wall, and they just come across there, walk right into the Border Patrol's hands. They ask them for their name and birth date, and you could say, my name is Bruce Lee. I was born January 1st, 2000, right? And they put you on a bus. You go to the in-processing facility, and then the vast majority are released. Now, many of the people who are being released inside the egg are being assigned, actually. We found that out in May when we came back. I was down in Darien Gap, and you know, Title 42 was relaxed in May. I think May 12th, as I remember, something like that. And I flew up from Darien Gap.
Assigned to where? Did you get locations where they're going?
Yes, and photographed some of their documents, which I don't have in front of me. But they some were going to places like Chicago, and it was interesting. Specifically, I remember seeing these Venezuelans talking about Chicago and showing us their paperwork. And then this black people up in Chicago specifically were on the news complaining about how many illegal aliens are being put into their neighborhoods and changing their voter rolls, right? You know, and these people are coming in getting driver's license immediately in places places like Brooklyn and New York, right?
I want to go back to the Darien Gap that you spoke of the last time we conversed when you were in Yerevan. Your information was anecdotal from people you know who've been at the Darien Gap before, medical workers. You also had information from your last embassy to the Darien Gap. There was an illness, not mortal, but debilitating for young people. This is people with very good immune systems. And some medical workers who've seen everything, their immune systems have seen everything. It wasn't dengue. It wasn't COVID. It wasn't quite the flu, but it was debilitating. Do you have any more information? I'm presuming everybody's recovered. Do you have any more information of what that is or was?
I do have more information. Now, we do know that malaria and dengue are going around quite a lot down there. However, the symptoms of this other thing, whatever it is, 5 out of 6 of one of our groups got sick. 5 out of 6. Jordan Peterson wanted me to take him down, and I said, you know what? I think we need to put the brakes on this just to see what's going on. And then a group of missionaries went down, and I know the missionary leader, Diane Edrington, very interesting lady. She spent about 20 years down coming and going into Panama jungles. I've been out in those jungles with her a lot. And Diane told me about 10 days ago or 2 weeks ago that 8 out of 11 of her people got sick. 8 out of 11. So 5 out of 6 people in my group and 8 out of 11 people in her group got sick. And it was just quickly, it was a quick onset, a lot of diarrhea and that sort of thing. And it did not sound like malaria. Nobody talked about chills or night sweats or anything like that. It's just aching and hitting the toilet a lot. And some of them bedridden. Same in my group. 3 were bedridden out of the 5. There were 5 out of 6 of my group got sick, and 3 were bedridden, and 1 didn't get sick at all. And in her group, I don't know all the details.
And the Darien Gap right now, your information, because you've been there recently, but you haven't been back recently. The Chinese nationals coming through, at the time you were recording that, there were families, and they were headed north. Some of the Chinese nationals coming through were military-age males who were boasting of their ambitions, where they were headed. Have you any new information about the Chinese nationals coming through? Has the number increased? Has the family number increased? Has the information about them changed?
The information hasn't changed much insofar as when I left, when was the last time I was there? I don't know. Anyway, it was a month and a half, 2 months ago. There was about 200 Chinese a day were coming through Darien Gap, about 2,000 people per day in total, but about 200 Chinese. Now, that number is dynamic insofar as a lot of the Chinese are going around. For instance, they fly to Cancun, or they fly to Nicaragua, or they fly to El Salvador or Mexico City. So they're flying to other places, or they fly to Canada. So they're going to they don't actually go through the Darien Gap. Some do. People often ask, well, why would the Chinese infiltrate people through the Darien Gap when they can just bring them in on student visas and that sort of thing? Of course, they do. They do constantly. They do that, and then they do other things, right? It's like, you know, it's a very good question, but at the same time, I think a lot of people don't understand how big this is. They're coming in from every way they can get in, right? Whether it's hard or difficult, the more ways that they can push people through our borders, they're doing it, right? Many are coming across the Canadian borders, but we don't know the numbers. And we don't know the numbers coming across the southern border either, because, of course, we don't know about the gotaways. And the vast majority of the U.S. southern border is completely unguarded. I mean, it's child's play to get across. I mean, it's like, it's really nothing. I mean, if you're getting caught going across the U.S. southern border, it's generally because you don't know anything about the U.S. southern border, or you don't care about getting caught. Most of the aliens who are coming in now actually want to get caught because they walk right in, they get in processed, and then they get released, right? And everybody knows that. They're talking with each other on WeChat and WhatsApp, and they all have their different groups. Like the Haitians have their own groups, the Cubans have their own, the Chinese have their own groups. So they've all got their sort of, you might say, lonely plan of how to get through, which is quite dynamic, right? So different ethnic groups will tend to cross with their own like artery of people. Now there, you will see outliers. For instance, I see like the random Chinese guy here or there. But generally speaking, you'll see like the Chinese go one way, the Haitians go one way, the Peruvians go another way, Ecuadorians, right? And the bottom line is though, the absolute numbers continue to increase. And now we're going into August. Of course, it'll be quite hot. There's two full moons in August, and the middle of the month should be quite dark. But I'll be out there with my team all the way across the border the entire time, and with very interesting people. And no doubt that our work is going to hit millions of eyeballs. And I hope that you and I go on multiple times, because we're going to see things we don't normally see.
Michael Yon is in Tbilisi, Georgia. And given his schedule behind and in front of him, this is a holiday he's taking in a former Soviet colony where the Russians, the Ukrainians, and all manner of world travelers are passing through or digging in for the changes ahead of us, not only because of Ukraine and because of Xi Jinping, but also because there is a migration underway. Global South is moving to the Global North. In some small places, the Global North is moving to the Global South because of war. Michael Yon, it's Michael underline Yon is his Twitter address. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.